My heart, Lord of my heart. We're going to study this morning about a man who had the Lord of his head and, yes, his heart, but after a while, the Lord became even more important to him. If you'll take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Job, chapter 1. Job, chapter 1. Everyone here has no doubt heard of this man, Job. Job chapter 1. We'll be looking at several verses in this book this morning. 19th century missionary from Ireland went to Canada. His name was Joe Scriven. He worked among the Indians up in Canada. He was joined by his fiancée, who was also from Ireland. Just before the wedding, she was killed in an accident. He buried her with his own hands and a broken heart. A year later, in a letter to his mother, he reflected and wrote these words. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Many of the hymns that we sing are born in either heartache or revival. That is one of them. Each one of us in this life at times faces challenges that overwhelm us. We have days when we want to just quit. We feel like the devil is winning and there's no help. And we're going to read about a man just like that. Sad thing that what's going on in Africa is also happening here in America, and that's the prosperity type gospel. Sometimes Christianity is packaged up in a manner that's not really true. And it's very sad. It's interesting. Gerber baby food, when it first started selling its product in Africa, they used the same packaging that they do here in the United States. You know, there's a picture of that little baby there. But later they found out that in Africa, companies routinely put a picture on the label of whatever's inside the can because the people can't read. So they had to change things. They had to repackage it a little bit. Well, there are a lot of people that are repackaging Christianity. And they are making it sound like if you become a Christian and if you live right, things will be just fine for you. And that is going around. It's very sad. And yet, that's what's happened in our country. And many people are following. Let's read about this fellow, Job. In this book, really, there's an earthly scene and then a heavenly scene. Then an earthly scene and a heavenly scene. We live in time and space. We're aware of that, but there's a whole other dimension, obviously, the spiritual dimension, and this book sort of opens up the curtain and shows to us other realities that we take by faith. God lifts the curtain and lets us see. Here's the earthly scene, first of all. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Perfect, upright. And perfect means he was healthy, he was complete, he was upright, he was honest, things were going well, he was level, he was smooth. He was in conformity to justice and righteousness and law and morality, and he eschewed evil. That means he turned aside from it. And this man, verse 2, there were born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 100 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, a very great household, so that his man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Wow, the guy, I mean, he was rich. He had lots of CDs in our culture today, lots in the stock market, and he invested at the right time, and it bloomed and boomed, and everything was good about this man's life. Verse 4, his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with him. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. He didn't just do it once. He did it all the time. Here is a man who is not only blessed physically and financially, but he's blessed spiritually, because he sees his responsibility as the priest over his family. And so he's burdened for his family and his extended family, and he's bringing them before God. He's the priest in the home. Now we change. Verse 6. We change from the earthly scene to a heavenly scene, to a realm that you and I cannot see, and yet it is just as real as the one that we can see. Verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Why shouldn't he praise you and be good? Look at his life. Hast thou not made an hedge about him, about his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, okay, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. And so Satan went forth from the presence of God and did what Satan does best. Earthly scene again. There was a day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away, and yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while this messenger was talking, another one came and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I am only escaped alone to tell you. And while this man is speaking, somebody else comes in and says, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels, carried them away, slain the servants with the edge of the sword, I am only escaped to tell you. And while this guy speaking, comes another one and says in verse 18, thy sons and thy daughters, what's more precious to us than our children? Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. It fell upon the young men, and they are dead. I only am escaped to tell thee. Wow. How does Job respond? Job arose, tore his mantle, shaved his head, signs of mourning, fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and said these words that we've heard. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. verses 20 and 21, what does he have? He's got great grief. He's got great sorrow, loss, pain, and agony. And the expression of those, he is crying out before God. Let me say to you, when you have times of loss and sorrow, and you cry out to God and you're in terrible pain, you haven't sinned. We're not just supposed to be able to sing a zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay, oh, what a feeling. God doesn't expect us to be able to do that all the time. Who was it that said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ on the cross. And so when you are hurting deeply, and you are in terrible pain and loss and suffering and whatever it is that hurts you, and that you wish could not be there, and you are crying out to God, you're in good company. The why of Jesus was not a rebellious why. In all this, Job didn't complain against God's sovereign allowances and appointments. Both his allowances and appointments, depending on what your theology is, they are God's prerogatives. God can do whatever God wants to do. He is always righteous and he is never wrong. Chapter 2, verse 1, another heavenly scene. Satan again comes and says, I've been walking around and, I know you took away Job's wealth and you took away his family, but you didn't bother Job himself. Verse 4, skin for skin. Just put your hands on him and he will then curse you. God says, okay, you go ahead. And again, Job goes through all this misery. And it says in verse 10, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. His wife sinned with hers, though. Chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, his wife says, and dost thou not retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Wow. One fellow said that Job's wife added temptation to affliction by advising him to rebel. Job stood strong in all of it. Enter three friends to the scene. Three friends. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one of his own place, from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes afar off, they didn't even recognize him. They wept. They tore their own clothes and sprinkled dust upon their heads. They sat down with him for 7 days and didn't say a word. Have you ever tried to comfort somebody and you have nothing to say? They had nothing to say. And it would have been better if they had never said anything. But after 7 days, they began pontificating and bloviating about how they knew the counsels of God. Back in the 80s, I studied Hebrew. And I'm going to translate these Hebrew names, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Eliphaz the Temanite is translated Joel Osteen. Bildad the Shuhite is translated Creflo Dollar. Zophar the Naamathite is translated Jesse Duplantis. All three of these friends were sincere. They were genuine. They were well-meaning. They were good communicators. But they were faulty in their theology. We could name others like these three. Benny Hinn, Richard Roberts, Mike Murdoch, Robert Shuler, he's gone, Ken Copeland, on and on and on. You know, when all this stuff came on Job, it's too bad he hadn't read Osteen's latest book, The Power of I Am. The Power of I Am. What you must do is be able to say, I am, and you can change. You want to believe that? Go ahead. It's too bad that Job had not read Frank Peretti's book on spiritual warfare. He could have taken care of the devil just like that and gotten rid of him. But Job was not enlightened like many of today's preachers that you can see and read about in our country and in countries around the world. He's in bad shape. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Let's read about what Job thought about his birthday. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there's a man-child conceived. Ah, she had a baby. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let it the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. For that night let darkness. He's talking about his birthday. Whew. On and on he goes, describing and hating the day he was born. He didn't curse God, but he cursed his birth. Wow. I wish I had never been born. If I had a show of hands here this morning, I'm sure that some of you, sometime or other, have thought that. If you have not thought that, you have probably thought, I wish I were dead. You may even thought about ending your own life. You see, in the scripture, God does not hide from us the struggles of his people. If I were starting a religion, I'd start it like the prosperity gospel guys and not tell anything bad about what happened to any of my followers. I would simply say the good. But God tells the whole story. On and on and on it goes. And Job's friends, you know the story. They come and they talk to him. Job answers. They talk to him. Job answers. They talk to him. Job answers. And the gist of the whole thing is, Job, you got secret sin someplace. Look at us. We're doing all right. You see, folks, this message is not just for people who are going through trials. This message is for people who are not going through trials and who are assuming that because life is good, you think you're right with God. That's not necessarily the case. On and on and on it goes. Chapter 23. Let's take a look at it. Chapter 23. Job is answering one of his friends now. And verse 10, he says, God knows the way I'm going. God knows my heart. And when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. Listen, you guys think that I've got sin in my life, and I'm going to tell you when the test comes, I'm going to shine like gold. You're going to find out that I was righteous. That's what he's saying. You just wait and see. And he goes through all of this. And it's interesting. He even says, I wish somebody would write a book about this and show how I was righteous. Chapter 19. Take a look at it. Chapter 19. I wish. Chapter 19, verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that we were printed in a book. What do you got in your lap? That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in a rock forever. They were. But at that time, he did not know that. I want people to know that I'm not sinning against God. I want them to know that I'm righteous. Oh, I wish somebody would write a book and tell about this. And here we open it. Job has some rough times. Chapter 19 and verse 25. I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth, and that though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He says there's a whole nother dimension here. I can't see it. I can't feel it. I don't understand it. But my confidence is still in God, and that when I leave this life, I will enter into that other dimension, and it will be okay then. And sometimes in this life, folks, regardless of what the Eliphazes of our day say, things just don't turn out the way we'd like for them to turn out. But it's not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. This life is not all there is. I remember the first time I said that I can remember, this life is not all there is. It was when I was out at a cemetery east of here. There were three oak coffins. A mother, a father, and a daughter murdered. And I'm sitting there with family. What could I say? I said, this life is not all there is. And the old grandpa responded with an amen or a yes or some sort of a recognition. The ladies sang for us this morning, Lord of my heart. Do you think that God was the Lord of Job's heart? I think that it was, but there was a deepening. There was something else that went on in his life that he reveals to us at the end of this book. Let's take a look at it. Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Job has answered the Lord. The Lord has given him quite a lesson on creation and the greatness and the majesty of God and the sovereignty of God and all of that. And then Job answers the Lord and says, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. And then here's what he says. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent, and dust in dust and ashes. What's he saying? Job says, I had a concept of God. He was Lord of my head. Yes, he was in my heart. But there's something new that's taken place in my life, and I have submitted to his sovereignty in a way that I never thought I would have to. And as a result of that, I see him for who he is. I am aware of that dimension, and I am going to live like it. I see what I am. And even though I was trying to justify myself with my three friends, and even though my life was good and that it was right and that I was upstanding citizen and all of that, even so I repent, I am still a sinner and I abhor myself in dust and ashes. And in today's climate, we'd have said, Job, you need to get to a psychiatrist. You have a bad self-image here. You need to work on that self-esteem, Job. Now, I know we need to think properly about ourselves, but here it is. Chapter 42, verse 10, it says, the Lord turned the captivity of Job, and when he prayed for his friends, wow, I'd feel like doing something besides praying for him. Ball bat or rocks or something, gun, who knows. When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Wow. Now, and then it describes it. I mean, he had daughters. They were the best-looking daughters in the whole area. I mean, it was wonderful. Read about it, last part of the chapter there. Wow. Twice as much as he had before. You say, well, it hadn't turned out like that for me. Yeah. Jesus said, there's no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses, brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands in the world to come. There's a whole nother dimension, a reality. We live with what we can see, hear, taste, smell, touch. But there's a whole nother reality. And Job, in all of his troubles, the backbone of his spiritual nature still believes in that reality, even though he wavers and screams and cries. Lord of my heart or just Lord of my head? What Job was saying here, I have heard of thee by the... He was saying, you know, my doctrine was right, man. I won verses, got all the awards, did everything, went on through and got all the awards and patches and ribbons and everything. But wow. Now, it's different. In a way that I'd never before done, I am resting in the sovereign, wise goodness of God. What I'm saying is that you may be going through deep trial, and God may be very pleased with you, because if you remember when we started, who was it that brought Job to the devil's attention? It was God. Job didn't come up to God and say, you know, I'm looking at you. Devil didn't come up to God and say, I'm looking at Job down there. And you know what? No. God says, have you considered my servant Job? God's bragging on him. When you're going through your deepest trial, God may be bragging on you. And when things are chugging right along and everything is great, you may not be right with God. Wow. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Some folks cannot handle trials well. Others cannot handle prosperity well. We need both. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we are a mixed multitude in this place. You know our hearts. You know our grief, our sorrow, our loneliness, our pain. You also know when things are going well. Help us to be servants that you can brag on. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing that. Number 660. 660. I don't know what God's doing in your life. Whatever it is, let Him do it. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. 660. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Sing it to Him.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Together. Whatever the condition of your soul, I encourage you to get into the Lord's presence. Whether you're prospering and cold in your spiritual life, or whether you're prospering and you're hot in your spiritual life, whether you're hurting and you're cold, or whether you're hurting and you're walking with God, get into the Lord's presence. live in the light of eternity. Lord, thank you for this man of God that you've chosen to teach us about his experience. Thank you that you put the whole truth in the book. Help us, O God, to live in the light of your goodness and your wisdom and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.